Okay, thanks so much, Mark. It is great to be back again this year in this wonderful cruise for mind, body, and soul. Great to be with Father Barquette and the other speakers as well. And tonight's topic actually is going to be on practical ways to strengthen the family. Last year I gave the talk on 10 easy ways to become a saint, but this year I wanted to give something that can help give you some practical ideas in the raising of your family, not only for your kids, but for your grandkids as well. So hopefully some of these ideas will be beneficial. As you know, the family has been under attack. It's in crisis over these years. I'll give you some examples. In the year 1860, one out of 36 families became broken families. By 1974, it was one out of 10. And by the 1990s, it was one out of 2. So what can we do to strengthen the family? Now, George Burns once said that happiness is having a large, loving, close-knit family in another city. Well, of course, that's a joke. Family is such a great blessing. There's another story of a family that was driving home after Sunday service. They had just had their baby baptized. And the 7-year-old boy in the back seat was crying. And the parent says, "Why are you crying? We just came from a wonderful celebration. We just got little Susie baptized." And the 7-year-old said, "Well, I heard the preacher say that he wants us raised in the Christian family, but I want to stay with you guys." So how can we have good, strong Christian families? Well, Zig Ziglar tells a very interesting story, a very good story. He said there was a businessman who got home from work one day. He was very tired, just wanted to watch television and read the newspaper. And so his 6-year-old son kept coming up asking questions one after another. And the father said, "Oh, what can I do to have some peace and quiet?" So he opened up the newspaper and he took the weather map of the United States. And he took the map and he ripped it up into 25 pieces. And gave his son some tape and said, "Put the United States back together again and then come back." Well, the boy thought this was a wonderful game that he was playing with his dad. And so he went off and the father expected to have about an hour of peace and quiet. Well, 5 minutes later, the boy comes back and the United States is perfectly taped back together. The father couldn't believe it. He said to his son, "How did you do that?" And the boy says, "Well, I was having trouble at first. But I noticed on the back of the map was a picture of a family. So I put the family back together, and the United States took care of itself." See, there's lots of wisdom. So tonight, let me give you some very practical ways to strengthen the family. I'm going to use the word practical and just give you a couple thoughts for each letter. The P in practical stands for you have to protect your family. See, we live in a society that's really attacking marriage, attacking the family. How many of you saw the movie Fireproof? Anybody see that? Okay, it's all about a husband and wife fireproofing their marriage against the evils of society. So you have to fireproof your family to protect them. So the first idea is protect. Safeguard your child's innocence from the media, from some of the things that they could see on television or in the movies or on the internet or the music. So your job as a parent is to protect your child's innocence. Now, there's lots of good movies out there. There's also lots of bad movies, lots of good websites, lots of bad websites, lots of good TV shows, lots of bad TV shows. Your job is to safeguard your child's innocence and protect them from the evils of society. Such as you wouldn't want them digging through the garbage can to eat something that would give them food poisoning. So you don't want them to get mind poisoning or soul poisoning either, right? So you have to protect what they consume into their mind. Make sure on the internet you have all the parental controls set up and you have all the filters so nothing bad can enter your home. Your mother Seton, who died in the year 1808, had a vision before she died. And she saw America in the future. And she said that in every home, she saw some sort of a black box. And from this box came all sorts of hideous serpents and poisonous creatures crawling through this box and destroying the family. What did she see back in 1808, 200 years ago? Was it television? Was it the computer? We don't know. But your job is to protect your child's innocence. Now, another word under P is peace. Try to have your family be a family of peace. Always bring harmony into the home, because you want to have your home a place where the children want to be. And if the parents are fighting, the kids don't want to be there. If parents are in harmony and peace, then the children will want to be there. A practical suggestion is to, there's a beautiful ceremony in the Catholic faith called the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is where you get a picture of Jesus showing his Sacred Heart, and you place it in your home and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is King and Lord of your family. You know what Jesus said? If you do this, you will have peace in your home. If you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is King and Lord of your family. And then the last P in the practical is prayer. That prayer is indispensable. Father Patrick Peyton said that the family that prays together stays together. So why not pray grace before meals as a family? Or read your Bible together for 5 or 10 minutes every night as a family. Maybe pray the rosary as a family, or at least a decade, because a decade a day keeps the devil away, right? So you have to use these opportunities to pray together. The next letter in practical is R, and that stands for respect. There has to be respect within the family. Honor each other. How many of you are familiar with Gary Smalley, a wonderful Protestant minister? Gary Smalley has written wonderful books, especially The Key to Your Child's Heart, and a book for the husband, a book for the wife, If Only He Knew, and For Better or For Best. They're fantastic books. In that, he says, one of the most important elements within the family is to always have respect. Husbands and wives respecting each other, children honoring and respecting their parents, brothers honoring and respecting their sisters, and vice versa. In fact, I remember a little story in kindergarten class. The teacher was teaching religion and said, what commandment has to do with how you should treat your parents? And the kid said, I know, honor your father and mother. And the teacher said, that's right. And then what commandments have to do with how you treat your brothers and sisters? And the kid says, I know, thou shalt not kill. So we have to honor each other. So notice that all the Ten Commandments have at the heart honor. Honoring the Lord's name, honoring the Lord's day, honoring your parents, honoring the sanctity of human life, honoring marriage, honoring other people's possessions, honoring truth. In regard to also the R, responsibility. It's so important that husbands take the responsibility of being the spiritual leader of the home. Don't leave it up to your wife to be the religious one, to be the spiritual one. You, as a husband and a father, have the God-given responsibility and obligation to be the spiritual leader of your home, to lead family prayer, to initiate going to church. You are the head of the family. The wife is the heart of the family. But you have to be the spiritual leader. Men have to rise to that occasion to be the spiritual leaders. As the head, the woman, the heart of the family. Also with responsibility, just a little side note here, is financial responsibility of not getting yourself into financial problems. A good thing I tell my engaged couples is when you get married, always spend less than you make. Isn't that wisdom, right? Just spend less than you make. Someone once said, if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. Yeah. Now, Jim Rohn, a wonderful speaker, multimillionaire, good Christian man who just died last year, says that we should live with financial responsibility. I know Chuck will be talking about this in the next couple days as well. Jim Rohn said, live on 70% of your income, invest 20%, and give 10% to charity, to a church or a good organization that helps others. So So again, financial responsibility. Make sure that spending stays in control. One husband once said, "I just gave my wife plastic surgery. I took away her credit card." Okay, so it's important to have responsibility both in your roles as father, mother, as well as in your finances, because so many marriages break up because of financial problems. So many families are broken because of financial problems. They say the number one problem in marriage is alcohol, number two are finances. The third letter in practical is A, and that stands for appreciation. That a very practical way to strengthen your family is to appreciate your spouse for the good meal that she cooked, or for cleaning the home, or doing such a nice job with the laundry, thanking the husband for driving into work every day, an hour and a half each way. See, appreciating what your spouse does. Writing that little card, that little note to thank them. And also, you know, appreciating your children as gifts of God, trying to see the image of God within them. As Ken Blanchard and Spencer Johnson wrote in the book The One-Minute Manager, and also in their book The One-Minute Father, catch your children doing something right. When they do something right, encourage them, praise them for that. Water their flowers and not their weeds. So many times parents look at the negative things and they always harp on that. That's like watering somebody's weeds. Why not water their flowers, their good qualities, their virtues? Because what gets praised gets repeated. So appreciate and be grateful for everything. Next letter in practical is C. And that stands for couple things. First is communication. Having good communication within the family. That there's in the family an openness. It's a safe place to share one's thoughts and one's feelings. And as you know, men and women communicate differently. The average man speaks 12,000 words a day. Any guesses for the average woman? 25,000 words a day. Okay? That's just how God makes us. But you can see how it could run into problems when you have the husband maybe coming home and he's already used up his 12,000 words, and the mom is home with the baby all day. She's only used a couple hundred words. She still has 24,700 words to go. So good communication. So understand the difference. And also read the book, The Five Languages of Love. The Five Love Languages. Some of you have read that book. Some people, let's say, give and receive love in different ways through the writing of a note or an action like a acts of service, or perhaps through language or through a hug or tenderness. So figure out what is your love language. Also under C comes consideration, being kind and considerate and courteous. See, it's very easy to have a happy marriage and a happy family if everyone is always courteous and kind to each other. Then there is cooperation, working together as a team. You know, a team is spelled T-E-A-M. Together, everyone achieves more. I like the story of the Belgian horses. You know, Zig Ziglar tells us in his book called Courtship After Marriage, he says, when people work together as a team, they can do so much more. He says the Belgian horse can pull 6,000 pounds of weight, but when two of them are harnessed together, pulling together and trained, they can actually pull 36,000 pounds. See, together they achieve more. So husband and wife pulling the family in the same direction can achieve so much more than when they're pulling in opposite directions. And there's three words that you should avoid in marriage. Dale Carnegie said, never criticize, condemn, or complain. People say, what else is there to talk about? But never criticize, condemn, or complain. Especially get rid of destructive criticism. Never put each other down as spouses. Never put your children down. You know, Gary Smalley, who wrote all those wonderful books, he used to go around the country, you know, and he was giving these seminars on marriage. His wife was sitting in the front row. And he'd say things like, my wife treats me like a god. Every morning she places burnt offerings in front of me. And of course, everybody got a big kick out of that. But you could tell that it sort of hurt her feelings. So he would also say, my wife is like an angel. She's always harping on me. So he would say things like that. Everybody laughed, of course, but his wife felt that was a criticism, and so he eventually wised up and stopped saying hurtful things. Because sometimes when a guy says something to his wife, he feels it's like dropping a pebble, but she feels it's like being crushed by a boulder. So you see the difference, how people react. The next letter in practical is T, and that stands for trust in God. We just pray the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Trusting in God for your finances, for your children, the number of children. But God wants to send you to be generous in trusting in God. And tithing is a matter of trust. Trusting in God to give that 10% to charity first off every month. And God says if you do that, He will provide for your finances. The other T in practical, another idea is time. You know how kids spell love? Not L-O-V-E, but T-I-M-E. It's how much time that you're willing to spend. And as Jim Rohn once said, that at some point in your life, you're going to have to spend time with your kids, either when they're young, forming them, or when they're older, visiting them in prison, okay? So at one time in your life, you're going to have to spend that time. So he says, why not spend it when they're young to form them? Zig Ziglar says that you spend the next 50 years of your life getting over the first five, right? So you have to realize that first 5 years are the most critical time between parents and children. Sometimes parents say, well, I give my children quality time. But as people have said, quality moments only occur during quantity time. So is it an issue of quality versus quantity? There needs to be both. Quality moments occur in quantity time. And then the next letter in practical is I, and that stands for involvement. Involvement, to become involved in your children's life by attending their games and their sports and getting involved in the church, in different organizations, getting involved in your place of worship by going there faithfully every Sunday, getting involved in different family activities and organizations, and making sure that that time is spent. I remember just as a kid, just seeing my dad at the soccer game or the baseball game, I mean, it meant a great deal, right, when the parents are involved in the kid's life. Another idea under I is imitate, right? Imitate the Holy Family. Husbands, imitating St. Joseph, the head of the Holy Family. Wives, imitating Mary, the mother and the heart of the Holy Family. And children, imitating Jesus. Then we come to the seventh letter in practical, and that is C. And that stands for a couple things. First is commitment. Right? Husbands and wives have to be committed to each other. They say the best thing you can do for your kids is to love their mom or to love their dad, to love their parent. It's the best thing you can do. When these kids see commitment, then they realize that there's this feeling of security when they see mom and dad are 100% committed to each other. C also stands for the secret of success, which is consistent self-discipline. Consistent self-discipline. Brian Tracy talks about this. Brian Tracy, again, a great writer and multimillionaire, a great motivational speaker. He says, in any aspect of life, the key to success is consistent self-discipline. To run a marathon, to lose weight, to advance in the spiritual life, to be an Olympic star, to be a professional musician, it takes consistent self-discipline. What's the best definition of discipline? Doing what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. Isn't that a great definition? Doing what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. So consistent self-discipline, being well organized and having that discipline which can then be passed on to the children. And then the last C, another idea, stands for continued education, to continue reading and studying. What if you as a parent read one book a year on parenting? Wouldn't that make a big difference in how you could pass on the faith or to raise your kids? What if you read one book on marriage every year, one book on communication to communicate better with your spouse? So read at least one book a year in your chosen field, whether it be on the priesthood or on the spiritual life or on prayer. Also listen to these educational CDs. Educational CDs are fantastic. There's topics out there and everything you can imagine. So as Brian Tracy says, turn your car to university on wheels. See, the average person spends, between 10 and 20,000 miles a year in their car. You could turn that into a university on wheels. Just by sitting in traffic, you can gain, UCLA did a study that said you can gain basically a college semester by sitting in traffic every year. You can become one of the most educated people in America just by listening to educational audio tapes in the car. Then, the last two letters in practical, A, then stands for, one idea is accountability. So you as parents have to be accountable to God because you want your children to be accountable to you, right? I've always often found that the more that parents are accountable to God, the more their children will be accountable to them. The more you as parents are obedient to God, the more your children will be obedient to you. So there's a parallel there. And so by your accountability and your obedience to the Ten Commandments, then you'll see that spirit of obedience in your own children. But you have to be submissive and obedient to the will of God in your life, to be humble and obedient, to be able to, when they see you kneeling down, saying your prayers, then you'll see how they themselves will become more docile and obedient towards you. Another A in practical stands for activities. And people like Zig Ziglar and Gary Smalley say that it's important to do family activities together. And they say that the number one way to keep families together is camping, believe it or not, camping. Because everybody is miserable together, okay? Because everybody is suffering from the cold or the rain. But that bonding does bring families together. Going to the beach together, going on a Caribbean cruise together, right? What a great idea that is. Having beach retreats. I've done this for 20 years now. Every July, taken 15, 20, 30 families to the Outer Banks. And it's a family vacation retreat. All the moms, the dads, the kids. And we've done that now. Last year was our 20th year in a row for these vacation beach retreats. But also activities with father and son. Just to take your son fishing or bowling, just one-on-one, is such a critical idea. Or take your daughter to a museum or something that she would enjoy, to a concert or to something very special. So there's activities with the whole family or with mom and daughter. Father and son can make a big difference. Lastly, the last letter in practical is L, and that stands, of course, for love, because that is the heart of everything. St. John of the Cross once said that in the evening of life, we will be judged on how much we have loved, right? How much we love God, how much we have loved our neighbor. You could boil all the Ten Commandments down to the two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. What is love? Well, love is a decision. Gary Smalley wrote a whole book called Love is a Decision. Love is an act of the will. It's much more than feelings and emotions. St. Paul tells us love is patient, love is kind, and he gives us the most beautiful description of what love is. So love is the key, and love of God and love of neighbor, especially the members of your own family. So unconditional love between parents and children, that acceptance. And love, of course, means affection. Virginia Satire once said that children need 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for emotional well-being, and 12 hugs a day for emotional growth. So ask yourself, how many hugs are you giving to your kids? It actually builds the immune system as well. Zig Ziglar tells the story of a West German insurance company that did an extensive study over 50 years. And they were able to determine that the employees that had loving, affectionate spouses lived an average of 5.5 years longer than spouses that were in unhappy marriages, because it built up their immune system. And also they earned an average of 30% more as well. So when Gary Smalley was actually giving this talk, he saw the husbands start putting their arms around their wives, because they obviously, and the wives are very happy, because they would love to see an extra piece of jewelry or a diamond ring with that extra 30% that the husband would make. So the husbands and wives would give each other a big kiss before going off to work. That builds their immune system, and it helps their income and their longevity. So, fellas, your lives are at stake here. So be extra affectionate with your spouse. And of course, also under the L should be lightheartedness, joy. And joy is spelled J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. Mother Teresa says, that's how you have joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. If you lack joy, it's because something's out of order. Maybe you're putting yourself ahead of others or ahead of Jesus. Laughter within marriage is a very important aspect. If laughter goes out of a marriage, marriage is in trouble. So you always have to keep things joyful and filled with laughter, and always have that positive outlook as well. So those are some practical suggestions to strengthen, hopefully, your marriage, strengthen your family life, because it is, family is the basic unit of society and the church. When the family crumbles, society crumbles. When the family crumbles, the church crumbles. So it's the most important thing to strengthen your marriage and strengthen your family. I'll end with my last little favorite story. Is a husband who was once asked, when he would be seen, people could tell that he was still so much in love with his wife. Yeah, they still held hands. He opened the car door for her. And you could tell there was still that romance alive in their marriage after 25 years. And so somebody asked him, well, what do you do to keep that romance alive? And he said, well, I'll tell you the secret. For the last 25 years, each week, my wife and I have gone to a little Italian restaurant. It's incredibly romantic. There's music, dancing, a bottle of wine. By going there each week, it has kept our romance alive. I go on Tuesday, she goes on Fridays. And God bless you all.